administrative portion of this meeting. We don't have anything on the consent calendar this time, so we'll move right into discussion. And the first item on there is the Northern Plains Electric Co-op and City of Madoc service area.
Great. Commissioners, this was just brought up to consider in anticipation that we may be having a lot more of these service agreements coming in. Do we need to have a higher level of scrutiny or more of a consistency of how we deal with these? And I believe Commissioner Voracek had wanted to bring this up for that discussion matter. So if you have further thoughts.
Just recognizing that after one of our recent TIA cases, it became apparent that a lot of these service agreements haven't been updated across the state, and I think that there was a memo that was submitted to a lot of the co-ops suggesting that they update these service agreements, and I think that's happening now. So I just wanted to make sure that staff had clear direction from us on how we want to consider those, since we're going to probably be getting a lot of them. In the past, we've had informals on these pretty regularly, but you know, in light of the fact that we might be getting dozens of them, how should we, you know, what are your guys' thoughts on that, how we review them? They are pretty important, but we, again, don't have a lot of say, and I think it's generally a positive thing that they're happening.
And especially if it's a consensus and agreement, you know, this one might be rare, but hopefully they all come to some type of consensus. You know, when I talked to Robert about it, staff, I said, you know, there was no agreement. And, I mean, there was agreement, no dispute, so we don't end up with a TIA case.
Right.
You know, if there was, that's how it would be resolved. But I look for the efficiency of it, just making sure both parties were in agreement, signed off, and move forward.
When we've talked about these in the past, what sorts of things did we bring up and cover? Because we've had, you know, some good discussions with the parties. They're always in agreement when they file it, because otherwise it would be a dispute, right? So are there things we should be looking over in a public manner on these?
Whether it's in a public manner or whether it's just even internally within the commission, I think there are... I think we should be providing a higher scrutiny on these. I think as we start to look at these, especially as we're approving them, it's a little bit different. Some of the ones we've been seeing that have been coming up in various TIA cases have not been really, well, they haven't been approved by us. That's some of them. That's been some of the issue. And there may be unique aspects of the service area agreement where the infrastructure is. I mean, it's easy to just draw it on the map that these are the areas, but how that kind of impacts the broader interaction of the local utility. I think not that we have to every time take a strong opinion, but we should have a good understanding of what's happening there if we're going to approve the service area agreement. Also say, and I'm glad that Robert brought this up and put this on the admin discussion with Commissioner Sherry, there are other aspects sometimes even on the local level to crossing the T's and dotting the I's. Something that's unique about this one specifically, this isn't a co-op and an IOU, this is a municipality and in a cooperative, which leads to some interesting possible discussion of how their franchise authority actually works in conjunction with this. Because if you take a look at everywhere else in the CPCN law, it always, the most of the interaction is largely between investor-owned utilities, where it goes outside of a municipality, or where there's a conflict between them in a rural electric cooperative. Very little is actually discussed and actually defined for the municipalities. And so there are unique nuances to each of these. There may be a benefit to having some sort of review and probably discussion with the parties in some of these situations, just due to make sure that they understand where this lies and make sure that we know their view of how this actually should be applied moving forward. so that it prevents some sort of a contradiction moving forward.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obvious enough, but I hadn't really thought about that. Yeah, this is a pretty unique situation. This could get overwhelming, but one thing I wanted to say, so I don't forget, I don't know if we should be, so the co-ops apparently have encouraged their, all their member co-ops to look at their old franchise agreements and renew. Maybe we should be encouraging investor owns too, because we get into these things and then they have outdated agreements that don't necessarily cover all the details that we need to make a decision, and there's gray areas and it just becomes a lot more complex. So I guess I'd personally would encourage our franchise, our investor-owned utilities to also be trying to get things updated when it's many decades old. But then also, I think on even these things that seem not important necessarily to us, the chance for someone, for some kind of a public notification of it could be important out there somewhere. And what is this, MADOC? For all I would know, there could be some kind of growth potential there. And this transition could switch where the which landowner has the positive aspects of development on their property as opposed to the other one. And, you know, do they have a say in any of this when the utilities are drawing their lines? The utilities are looking at where their system goes and doing what's convenient for them, but there could be someone else involved that's not in that discussion. So our process might allow someone else to come in and say, no, these lines are not worth state their case.
So maybe we should have staff consider it and then come back to us with a methodology or how we should, like a recommendation for how these should be reviewed.
Sounds good. Thank you.
I will say in this case, I don't remember that I have seen no red flags or anything in this particular case.
My only point, I think Jack brought up some good points, so I would... you know, I don't know. Reviewing this case, I would say it was a kind of more of a global view, not looking at some of the points that Jack brought up. So on this one, I'll let staff look at some of the methodology and see if we want it informal on this one.
Sure. I'll touch base again.
Okay.
Soon.
Okay. So you'll figure out this one and... kind of a broader methodology. Perfect.
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, then the scheduling memo that Steve had sent out, and I'll say I worked with Steve somewhat on this, trying to get a better handle. So, sometimes it's confusing for staff trying to figure out to schedule meetings and work with our schedules and who should be notified when and such, and we worked on this, but before, you see the date that's highlighted, that was just a filler. It's not been sent out. We felt that it was important to run this by you two and see how you feel about this as a process.
I think it's good for a draft. I would just say with the recent... vacancies and that coming up, that we just keep this as a draft till we're full staffed and we know that this is the process that we're going to go through.
Yeah, I don't have any issues with it. I think you guys did a nice job of trying to clarify. And I will just say again, in the upcoming year of my travel, like more extensive travel, my goal is to be as, you know, open as possible. My schedule will, I will try to keep it as up to date as possible, and if you feel like my schedule is the thing that's keeping us from doing things, then just don't grumble about it. Let me know. And we will figure out something remote. I mean, I'm very open to doing things remotely, so.
I'm still going to grumble about it.
Well, all right. But I'll have my spies, Victor.
just grumble at her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grumble to the person. behind him.
So you want to hold off and just get the right name again?
Yep.
I
think this, we have a lot of changes kind of going on, and I appreciate the work, absolutely. I think it's a draft. It's a good working draft. It's a document to be worked off of, but...
So, well, is it just a matter of putting different names in, though, Sherry? I mean, or is there other stuff that needs to be changed?
Did you have other concerns, yeah.
Yeah, I guess, full disclosure, I didn't look at it until we got in here. I thought it was a discussion point, and I didn't have a chance to read it, so...
Well, it really is a discussion
point. Yep, so yeah. Okay.
But I think the concept is...
Yep, I support the concept. Yep.
Sounds good. Then we'll move into number 3, the AML temporary staff. Zana's right on the spot for the second time in the hour.
Actually, I don't know who got you the information, but it wasn't me.
Okay, well, pass on the kudos to the staff members.
I'm assuming Jill.
Mike. Okay. Thanks, Mike.
I think, first of all, I would like to update you a little bit more on the grant monies that we are receiving. So, as you know, AML is 100% federally funded, and we receive a fee-based grant, and that was reauthorized in 2021 to extend till September 30th, 2034. But it did reduce the fees collected from 8 cents to 6.4 cents per ton. We are supposed to receive $3 million a year. After sequestration, it's usually $2.8 million. We also applied for the BIL grant, Bipartisan Infrastructure Law Grant, and that we're allocated $3.1 million.
Can I ask, is AML like the only remaining program that's subject to sequestration? I mean, does that still happen? This must be the only thing.
They sequester a few percent off of that and then
give it to somebody
more
else.
Than double the amount of money they get by adding another thing.
So for the last couple of years, we have been typically getting $2.8 million because of that. So, so these fee-based grants are 3-year grants. We applied for the bill, the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law Bill. We get $3.1 million, and that is going to be for 15 years if we choose to keep applying for those. One of the biggest changes since they first proposed this is that states and tribes are now allowed to put away 30%, which for us annually would be over $930,000. And we can put that in a set-aside account for 15 years, and after the program is no longer with us, the state can use that for subsidence or mine fires. Over 15 years, that amount is $13.9 million. So that's probably the biggest benefit to North Dakota, is to put that money away for after the project ends.
Is that a legislative decision to do that, or do we do that?
I think we already have a set-aside account.
But did we choose to do that, or did the legislature say, let's do that? Just curious. Don't know.
I don't think it was brought up because the set-aside account was approved after legislative session. So this is something new. They started talking about it in May. That we would be allowed to.
Oh.
In our historical program, we've always had a set-aside provision.
Yes.
And that was, I'm sure they created that account
right
years ago, but we decide we could spend the whole $2.8 million plus whatever's in that account 1 year,
yeah.
Or we could continue to save some for
right.
future
or
problems.
Set up another account, because the bill grant funds have to be tracked separately from the fee base. So whatever we currently have set aside was from a fee grant. Mm-hmm. So they do have to be tracked separately. And there's a few differences on how we can use them. So the bill grant, we can use on priority 3. We can't do that with the fee grant. The lowest priority sites have to be attached or adjacent to priority 1 or 2 site in order to use those funds. So the bill grants are also 5-year grants, and there's some additional reporting requirements such as Justice 40, Davis Bacon, and using displaced minors. All of those requirements are on the state to provide certification that we've done our due diligence, that we have no Justice 40 areas we're adjacent to. And these are things that staff will have to work through. The other source of funding that is available to us, and I just found this out, is that AMLIS is going to do a one-time funding for us. It would be $222,000 plus. And that is to assist states in updating their inventory of sites that remain. This is a requirement in addition to updating our paper permit, which includes everything from procurement policies to contracting policies to how we prioritize. With all of the funding and the additional responsibilities that are going to come with this, because the bill grant is not only going to double our grant, it's probably triple or quadruple the amount of time spent counting the beans into each grant and then by each project. We will be required to update our reclamation plan, update our field inventory, or just updating our inventory will require field work. And we also have to update our standards and specifications by which we do, figure what level lands have to be reclaimed to. That hasn't been updated, I would guess, the 90s, and standards have changed since then. Methodologies have changed. Just the kind of grasses we plant has changed. So with all of the extra work, we are requesting a temporary full-time position, and possibly with the intent to request that it become full-time during next legislative session.
Could it become permanent?
To become permanent, mm-hmm. Because of the additional work that the bill grant will create, and the reclamation update of our state plan. We are behind on project planning. Nothing we couldn't handle, but the bill grants are 5-year grants, and we have to include projects in the grant application. If we don't, or we just throw something in there, every time that project changes over the next 5 years, we have to do a grant amendment to change the grant application, which you can ask Jill how much she likes those. And we have been doing lots of them. With the extra money, there's a lot more reporting, a lot more beans to count. OSM is encouraging large multi-year projects. However, the biggest projects in North Dakota are already mitigated. So we have smaller sites, there's less work to do, and there's longer distances between the sites. So when we do sinkhole filling, for example, the project could extend from Williston down to Bowman area to Beulah up north again by Minot. It's a huge area, and if we group them so the contractor just keeps moving, but then you're paying a lot of mobilization cost. and not actual work. With the additional work that is going to be required of staff, we would like to request a temporary full-time person for AML. I will say that the new assistant director, Matt, has a business degree, and it is possible that some of this tracking and grant reporting could be included in his position, so that staff is more free to go in the field and do some of the paperwork. The majority of rewriting our program will also fall on Matt.
So I want to just explain one more thing to the request. We've also had challenges finding people to be the seasonal inspectors. Mm-hmm. And so having another full-time position in those instances where you can't get a temporary field inspector or a seasonal field inspector out there, one more body that help along with that mm-hmm. useful to it. I don't know that as time goes that one is enough, but then so I guess it's two things I want to tell. The other is this isn't something that we have to pay out of other budgets in order to use this federal money on abandoned mine land reclamation. The costs, 100% of the costs associated with this temporary full-time position will come out of this federal funding.
Correct. And our intent with the temporary position for the immediate future would be someone to help with planning and investigating during the winter, and then they would take the place of one seasonal inspector and be inspecting projects. We've managed to hire one. In the last 2 years, we've had one out of three really good seasonal inspectors. One was let go, and the one this year spent quite a bit of time in the vehicle. And part of that is, as a sophomore college or whatever, you are not really experienced in construction. And we can't get those people that are experienced to apply for a summer job. Some challenges there. But having someone knowledgeable about the standards and specifications and requirements on the contractor would assist in making the contracts go more smoothly. So, and certainly at the end of, by next session, we would have to reevaluate to see if we need to make this position full-time or how things are going. Yeah. Six months on the fee-based, we can still manage to do that, but we can't catch up and get ahead 5 years on planning to include it in our bill grants. So it's not the catching up portion, and part of that is Ross should have been planning, but he took another position. So he left right after his project was complete, and he would have started planning at that time. Mike is the only person we've had for a while that's experienced in supervising project in the field, and he actually has two good projects in the planning phase. So one is on hold until the Corps of Engineers decides if the water in the pit is a wetland or if they will let us discharge it down a drainage they think they have jurisdiction on. So. Yes, he picked another project for the upcoming year. Mm-hmm. So then he works on the other one. That'll be long-term, which would have been the perfect project for the bill grant because it's a large surface mine, spoil, water-filled pits, and it would have used an entire grant amount over several years.
Yeah, and I think it's a good plan. Thank you for laying it out and being proactive and getting extra funds and doing all those things. It's good plan.
Thank you.
Okay. Next on the federal list, we'll go into DOE transmission siting grant.
Thank you. So as you may or may not know, I've been reviewing all of the grant opportunities that come out of the IJA or IRA. Yeah, IRA, too many acronyms. Looking for opportunities for us as a commission and the state, quite honestly, as well. This is the one that hit the closest to home that I've seen thus far, because it specifically says transmission siting. And I drafted a memo to all of you that kind of summarizes what this grant is all about. After reviewing the details of it, as recommended in my memo, I'm suggesting that at this time we don't file an application for the grant funding, primarily just due to the odd nature of how it is organized. In order to qualify for the grant, it must be a qualifying transmission project, and the grants would not be distributed until at least next summer, and without my crystal ball, I have no clue of what transmission projects I'm going to have next summer versus right now. I could barely tell you what we're going to have in a week from now versus 6 to 9 months from now. There's other opportunities in there as well that we're continuing to review to see if there are other things that we're involved in where we could potentially use these funds. And if my suggestion changes or the three of you have any other ideas, we can certainly potentially turn in an application. But at this time, for our normal siting process at least, I don't think it's the good course of action to apply for this grant just because of the incredible amount of uncertainty in the whole thing. But as an aside to that, so this is transmission siting and economic development. Economic development is not within our area of interest, traditionally speaking, so I have reached out to the North Dakota Transmission Authority, made them aware of it, and then just the other day I was actually on a call. One of the projects in North Dakota that's in the works actually asked North Dakota to apply for the economic development grant funding, so I thought that was pretty proactive of the company looking to do that project. Since it's economic development, I didn't really have anything to weigh in with them, but I thought it was encouraging that folks are trying to find ways to use those funds in the state.
I'm fine with the staff recommendation. Get my mic off.
Okay, Victor, you're going to kill me.
No, not at all. I'm just going to grumble.
No grumbling.
Yeah, no grumbling. So I think that, I mean, I hesitate to suggest we apply for this because I know how much work grant applications are. But specifically under the siting activities, you know, the money that this could be used for, number three,
mm-hmm.
participation by the siting authority in regulatory proceedings and negotiations in another jurisdiction or auspices of an RTO for transmission project, and then four, in regulatory proceedings at FERC regarding rates and cost allocations. So with MISO Tranche 1, those projects have been identified, and so I think that you could use those as a CTP. What does that stand for?
Covered Transmission Project.
Yeah. Covered trans. I was thinking Q, qualified covered transmission project. I think that those lines, in particular the ones, I mean, they haven't applied yet, and who knows when they will, but it says...
So it doesn't necessarily... So to that point, I'm generally... aware of what your thoughts and concerns are.
It could be before us, and those
yep.
could and probably will be before us. And then the JTAG-Q things also are out there, and I think that we might be wanting some ability to ensure that that backstop authority in terms of a cost allocation doesn't land on our ratepayers. And so that would be another potential use for these funds. So I feel like it would be really nice to get a couple $100,000 if we could to help support our evaluation of engagement in both the RTO and the FERC level on these projects and for our siting.
So for the RTO and the FERC, I think I would agree for the siting piece of it. I mean, without knowing when we're going to get, I mean, we could get the applications by then, but that's the real trouble with the, so the items on page, the bottom of page one of my memo, so items number one and number two, those are kind of directed
right.
at our normal siting process. Those
yeah.
are the ones where to nail that timeline
yeah.
is just not going to happen.
I didn't circle
but,
those. Three and
good.
Four.
Good. That's what I was going to say. So three and four, I don't think we need to have those directly tied to our siting process, but they would be covered transmission projects.
Right.
And I'm not opposed to that idea.
And you could even, I mean, there's been some preliminary lines for tranche two drawn, and I think that we could, you know, reference all of that, tranche one and tranche two, and say, like,
certainly.
We're going to be involved in these, and... yeah, so I think that this funds could be pretty helpful for us.
Certainly.
We could get some of them.
So, yeah, the initial so if we're going to apply for any of this, the initial application is due October 31. And it kind of gives an indication of what that form should take. And it's not going to be terribly extensive, but it's a little
sure.
bit of writing. And then the full application is due in April of next year. So between the end of October, and then we would get a lot more clarity on where all of those are and the different processes, and we could kind of narrow down what we specifically would intend to use those funds on. So it's certainly possible if the commission is interested in that, we can work on drafting a proposal.
And would we be screened out then? So like there's a screening process, and then they'd come back to us if we make it through that for a full application, or we don't know.
My review of it is that we need to fill out a full application either way. So we would do the initial,
mm-hmm.
Give it a little bit of time to percolate,
sure.
and then start working on the full application.
Is there any feedback from the October 31st application? There must be some type of, is there any type of feedback?
Not that it didn't lay that out. I mean, honestly, this grant in general is the oddest thing I've ever seen. just in its entire layout, I'm not sure who drafted the thing, but it certainly wasn't folks who know how state processes work. It just, you know, that timeline alone, like items one and two, it's great thought process, but I can't imagine any state being able to identify what siting projects they're going to have before them 9 months from now. And, I mean, the whole idea, I mean, this grant proposal, the whole focus of it is to speed up the siting of transmission projects. That's not what this is going to do.
Do we expect their timelines to be pushed back if they shut down for a week or so?
Very well could be.
What, like, to do this application, and then there's a two-part. One on the initial part, it's currently due October 31st, but then again, estimates of the next one. If one person had all the skill sets for preparing that, how many hours of time are we talking about this?
One person.
Our people.
So the initial application, I'm really shooting from the hip here. I haven't written a grant from scratch that we didn't apply for previously. But I would estimate 20 to 40 hours to ensure we're having correct references and all those kind of things in there. And that's kind of covering every, to your point, if one person did all of it. But it's, I'll be writing a portion of it. I'll be talking to Jack about a portion of it. I'll certainly be visiting with the three of you, likely with Steve, Jill, you know, lots of different parties in the agency.
And then the yeah. subsequent one
well,
due next spring, well,
great
if we're moving forward, would be much more or similar?
I would say much more. The requirements of that one are you have to have specific laid out cost, like line item out costs, you know, labor, fringe, supplies, materials, travel,
So we could have a month of staff time tied up.
Yes.
And how much, is there a limit to, these are good questions, Randy. Is there a limit to how much money, like what is the amount?
The minimum grant amount is $100,000. The maximum is $10 million.
So you'd have to quantify what you're asking for.
Correct.
So what was the minimum? $100,000?
$100,000.
To $10
million? Correct.
I mean, I guess my thought is, if we don't, like, get a placeholder in, then we're out.
Yep.
So is it worth 20 to 40 hours to get our name in the mix and, in a general way, outline what we would use these for, and then have some time to see what comes up, and if the, you know, if we want to apply for, you know, if we have a good case to make for a couple $100,000 or $10 million or $1 million, I mean, whatever. Yeah, I don't know. It seems worth it. Yeah, it isn't going to be without some work.
Yep.
Sure.
Yep.
Maybe we could find somebody to help with that second, more in-depth piece.
Likely, you know, I know.
Maybe Claire would help.
He likely would be willing to do that. I was almost kind of thinking of the governor's office. You know, we have. He organizes meetings with all of the agencies on the IRA funding.
Yeah.
And they've made reference to having available folks who can help with grant writing and those kind of things. So not necessarily to, they wouldn't do all of the work for us, certainly, but maybe they could help.
Coordinate it.
Yep.
And, you know, hearing your explanation, before I decided, I knew Victor, but I'm open to doing this, but I do want to point out, we've got, I don't know, possibly one of the biggest citing cases we've ever had that's ready to really pick up. It's going to take a lot of staff time. Another citing case, which will be big, that the company said they were going to have an application in the end of August. It's not here yet, so that could be coming in big. Our staff is stretched as we make this decision. So.
Do we have, within our budget, we've had some funds, you know, consultant temp that we could look at, some people like Commissioner Perdoracek said to help with this. I could look at that. I have no idea what, you know, without knowing what it would potentially cost, I guess I can't really say if we have the available funds. And then I guess the other piece to it would be, is that worth the actual cost? Because at the end of the day, I think a lot of it is still going to have to come from staff, just knowing, sure, like, you know, kind of the process that Zana and I go through when we apply for our recurring ones, you know, just thinking about that process, I'm not really sure, even if we wanted to farm it out, how much time that would actually save us, you know, because at the end of the day, we would still have to be developing, you know, how much staff time is it going to take, and putting all that together. So,
well, the first one, we're on a timeline. Mm-hmm. We have a month.
Yep.
So that's going to be internal.
Have you talked to Adam? Because he would have the best sense and the best insight on the MISL transmission stuff and how it might feed into this.
I haven't talked to him about this grant specifically.
So you might get a little more insight from him, because I think he would be the one that would provide the most in-depth information on the projects.
Sure.
And he might have a sense of how hard it's going to be to get that info in the next couple of weeks.
I don't know how detailed we need to be on the initial, anyway. I mean, you know, general reference to, you know, these covered transmission projects within the...
Oh, wait, no, it's Rob. I forgot. It's Rob on transmission, not Adam. He's resource advocacy.
Sure.
So Rob would be the one.
Sure. I'll visit with probably both of them. But
yeah. Okay.
Okay. Anything else on that?
That's all I have. Thank
you. As you go, if you think like this is just the yep. more you dig, the more concerns you have, or it's like there's going to be way too much reporting required for this, it's not going to be worth it. I hope you'll just
yep.
bring that to light.
I feel adequately empowered to come to you with problems.
Yeah. Like, this is a terrible idea.
On that, we'll move to number six.
Five, round table.
Oh, yeah, number five, the round table discussion.
This is hopefully going to be quick. I got this invitation yesterday. I can't go to this. I wanted to share it with you guys.
I got one.
I think we all got it. One. Okay, good. So then we don't have to talk about it. We can all just decide on our own. I won't be there, so for scheduling purposes, we don't have to. Maybe it would be better.
SPP that morning.
Okay, so you can represent the commission if you want, Sharon.
Okay. Interesting email.
Yeah.
Okay. Was there something else to add to discussion?
I do have one final item, and I do apologize. This came, I didn't want to. I realized this at like 9:40, and I didn't want to force admin staff to make all the changes at that point. So, basically, the Ag and Natural Resources Committee has been back and forth with me for a couple of weeks on this meeting next. Which is next week, they're having on the mitigation plans related to the energy conservation and transmission facilities. They're doing the study on it. As you can see, they're presenting a background memo, which I haven't seen, but I want to get my hands on prior to attending, regarding their study of these mitigation plans. The siting and operation of the energy conversion and transmission facilities. Then they want to hear for me on this PSC's role. And then Greg Link from Game and Fish, and then Doug from Ag Commission is going to be speaking. This is next Tuesday?
Yep.
Yeah, next Tuesday. They just confirmed the time late yesterday afternoon. So I will put together some comments, see it's Wednesday, and hopefully get them around to you guys by the end of this week so you can kind of see, but generally it'll be sort of the same thing we've said during the legislative session and all throughout about, you know, what our goal is.
Okay.
Do you have concerns you want specifically to highlight? If you do, you can certainly work. I'll probably work with Jack on this. He doesn't have this yet.
And Jack has been involved in all of our FDLIRC back and forth.
Yeah.
So he knows what we are at in that process. And
yep.
Frankly, you know, it's going to be a give and take. There's two sides here. And so it's a matter of trying to find a resolution.
Right.
And so, but he's aware of where FDLIRC is at on it, so.
Well, yeah. So I'll go and represent our side.
Firmly.
Okay.
Thank you, Julie.
Yep.
Okay, so then we'll go into scheduling, and we have a formal hearing with Otter Tail on their Astoria fuel storage project, and that is 23-66. And I think there's a possible date of December 12th, which is a Tuesday?
That's correct. So I think we have a hold in some of your calendars, but not all of them. So that's why I added this to scheduling and wanted to get the hold in there. And then the next meeting, we would issue the notice of hearing if that is still a workable date for the three of you.
It works for me.
I'm just logging in. Sorry. All right. Is mine one that it isn't in?
If I were to venture a guess, it's been a little while since I looked. December 12th.
Yeah, there's no hold on mine.
Oh, maybe you were the one. I know there was two of them that looked blocked out and one that wasn't. I forgot who it was.
It's on mine.
Okay.
It looks good for me.
Okay. Is it good for you?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. My calendar's completely
open.
So
then Pamela will reserve it for right now, and then next meeting in October we'll issue notice of hearing.
I'd like to add one more scheduling thing. I'm wondering if the two of you are available for a short personnel meeting soon, and if Steve give us a little update on a lot's been happening with positions and stuff, you know, the personnel things. An idea I had was either at 12:45 today, so we'd be done in advance of that informal, or at 3:45, so it could be after the informal. But I don't know what the schedules are. So
I know noon doesn't work. I have a commitment. 3:45, how long is it going to last? I have another commitment at 4:30 offsite.
For a half hour, that probably would work.
I'm available either time, but yeah.
Are you available, Steve? Give us a little update. Okay, so let's
I kind of doubt that auto tail thing is going to take 2 hours.
That's three cases.
Yeah.
It's three. I would venture it might.
They're not individually lengthy, but with having three of them, I don't like doing that unless we have at least one of them that's shorter and one of them should be shorter.
Okay.
But yeah.
So, but if it got done sooner, we could start some. Okay.
I don't think so.
If you notice it.
Well, could we notice it?
You're the only participant in this conference. Press any key to continue this conference.
We notice it for 3:30.
The conference will now continue.
Yeah, so that would give us, if we're done at 3:30, that would give us 45. Okay. All right.
Okay, anything else? That we are adjourned.